Sunday. This is BK Jones. I am thrilled to be partnering with BPN Radio and Pastor Dale Gentry for Preaching Sundays every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's go to the message. The title of my sermon this morning is It's Expired. And I don't know about you, but at my house, expiration dates are a big deal. Now, I was raised by two grandparents that came through the Great Depression. And so, one of my favorite stories about my grandfather, which you know you're always going to get at least one about my grandfather, but one of my favorite stories about him was I said he bought the groceries and he paid for the gas and provided the car. And my grandmother paid for the water and lights. And so there was always a battle that one of them never, you know, got more out of it than the other one did, you know, that they were each trying to get it. Take advantage. And my grandmother made the very best French fries of anybody in the world. I don't know what was different. I guess it was the love that was in it because, you know, you slice a potato and fry it. There's not that much to it. And so I was so excited. I don't know. She would always say, oh, B, I don't know. Make potato French fries again. I just beg her, please, please, please. And now I make them and I think, why is that so hard? I guess she just wanted me to beg her for them. But anyway, one day we're sitting at the table and I said, boy, we don't have any ketchup. And my grandmother said, no, baby, we're out. I'm so sorry. I didn't know when I started frying your potatoes that we were out of ketchup, but we're out. And I'm like, oh, man, well, French fries aren't good without ketchup. And I was just going on, and my grandfather just started looking a little suspicious. And she went to the kitchen, and he tapped me on the leg, and he said, don't worry, baby. Papa's got you some ketchup. I have some ketchup, but let me just tell you something. If your grandmother knows that I have ketchup stored, she's going to go through it like water. Now, who drinks ketchup like water? I never saw her drink ketchup, but he thought if she knew that he had found a deal and had excess ketchup or excess anything, that she would just plow through it, as he would say. So I'm sitting there and I'm all excited that I'm going to get some ketchup for my French fries. He comes in with this very dusty bottle of ketchup and it's black. I go to pour it over my French fries and it's like purplish black. And I was like, Papa, this looks a little weird. And he said, oh, baby, it was just made at night. Go ahead and eat it. There are things in our lives that expire. If you'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3, we'll start in verse 3. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So one of the most important things we learn growing up is how to tell time. Our whole universe revolves around time. When the sun is beginning to set, we discern that the day is coming to an end. And we start preparing to sleep. As the sky gets darker, we start preparing our bed and getting ready for bed, washing our face, doing whatever you do before you get in bed. And as the sun begins to rise the next morning, we know that it's morning because the time is changing. We can tell by the sun. And God set up order in the world by time. And in scripture, it says, be aware of the times and the seasons. Be aware of the times and the seasons because so many times things have expired in our lives, but we're holding to them so tightly that we can't move into the next season. As the sun begins to shine more and more and the earth gets warmed, we realize that we're going from what? From winter to spring. And as it gets hotter, we realize that we're moving into the summer season. So we begin to adjust our wardrobe. Don't adjust it too much for church, all right? Stay modest with me, all right? But we begin to adjust our wardrobe, and we put up the heavy clothing, and we exchange it for more moderate or cooler clothing. So all these things are God's examples and the way he set the order in the earth, that there's a time for things and there's a season for things. And we need to discern the difference between when something's still good and when it's time to get rid of it and throw it away. There are times in the spirit realm, just like there are in the physical realm. If we're not careful, our emotions will lock us into a time of mourning and grief, crying and tearing down, and will not sense the changing of a season. When someone passes away, it is very normal to grieve, and it is very normal to mourn. That's very normal. We expect you to cry at a funeral. We expect you to be, you know, your heart to be broken in a thousand pieces. But at some point, it's time for that season of mourning to change and for you to allow God to start moving you into a new season. Because what we can do is we can believe the devil's lie that because that person's gone or before a certain thing in our life has died, that it'll always be awful. And that I don't know how many of you have lost somebody, but it's the worst gut-wrenching pain in your heart that you could ever feel. Especially if you've ever lost a parent or a child. It is the absolute worst thing, the worst pain. I just remember needing to throw up for like 3 years after my mom died. I just remember having this huge lump in my throat and having a hard time eating, having a hard time just moving past it, you know? And I'm thankful for the people of God that didn't let me die there. I'm thankful for words from God that helped me to move on. And it may not be a person, but it may be a thing. It may be a business. It may be a season. And if we're not careful, the devil will trap us in something that was just meant to be a season. Pain is never supposed to last for your entire life. It's supposed to have a season and an appointed time to start and an appointed time to stop. And it's our job to discern that season. And it's our job to discern when I need to wash my face, get it together a little bit more. Jesus, and you can only do that with the help of God. You just can't do that. You can go to psychologists all day, but you can't move past a huge trauma without the help of God. I don't believe you can. Because I watch people bankrupt themselves, and there's nothing wrong with getting help from a Christian counselor. Somebody that knows God, I would think would be the best thing. There's nothing wrong with getting help on how to manage your issues. But there is something wrong with just going and going and going and just surviving in pain. You know, life was meant to be lived. I think we're called to abundant life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come, John 10:10, that you may have life and that you may have it what? Abundantly. Not just some jacked up life that's going to be just messed up forever because of an event. But that's the devil's deal, is he chains us to events and he chains us to people. And, you know, we could pass around the microphone and some of us could talk about being chained to people. When God was saying, let go and move into a new season. So we get paralyzed in a season that was supposed to only last for a specified amount of time. Most things in our lives have expiration dates. So we have to notice those things and think about that. You know, Pastor Les and I, when we had no kids, we just did whatever we wanted to do. We went wherever we wanted to go. We went to Hawaii, we'd go to Monterey all the time, Monterey, California, we'd go to San Francisco, we'd just pick up and go. If we were in the middle of our day and we decided we want to take off work early and go somewhere, we just did. And it was one made wonderful memories, it was great fun. But when we had children, we had to put some spontaneity away and realize that we had moved into a new season. Some people don't do that, they have kids and they still want to live a single life without kids. Some people get married and they still want to flirt and play. Life changes, you know? And it gets different when you're married. You know, you just don't walk out the door anymore without telling somebody where you're going. Because the season has changed. There's an expiration date on you're not having to answer to anybody. And God is changing seasons for a lot of us today. And I believe even prophetically for this church that sometimes we've held on to things that we need to move past. And so Pastor Les and I are praying and we're realigning some things and praying, God, what do you want to change here so that we can better serve this generation? And I'm thankful I waited to have kids until I was older because they're good at telling me what's not working for their generation. And I appreciate that. Because it's a new season. So we have to be ready to move into that new season. And we have to realize that there is a time for mourning. There is a time for brokenness. But then there's a time to run to Jesus and get better. There's a time he'll help you through the pain. He doesn't always take it away. I wish I could tell you he does. But pain is meant to form us and to mold us. Even pain that shouldn't have happened. Scripture says God works all things for our good. I love the story of Joseph. I'm going to preach on that soon because I keep referencing it every time I preach. But the story of Joseph, his brothers threw him in a pit, and then he was sold and into slavery and they destroyed him and told his dad he was dead. Now he could have died right there in trouble. But he processed it all and he acknowledged God and he did the best he could do with what he had. Sometimes we stop in trauma or in pain. We stop and we sit down and we're not supposed to do that very long. We're supposed to move forward and choose life and choose, God, I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm just asking you to help me today. Show me the next step. I've said it over and over, but the greatest advice I ever received was from an old pastor when we were in the middle of great pain. And he called me and he said, how are you doing, BK? And here's a weird thing. When pastors are hurting, or leaders are hurting in any corporation, not many people check. They just don't. Because they think you got it all together. We're just people too, But this guy, he called this old pastor. He called me regularly and I so appreciated that. And he would hold me accountable for my emotions. He knew that I could die in this season of pain, but he refused to let me. And I remember saying, Pastor Joel, I don't know what to do next. And he said, well, I can help you with that because I've been where you're at. And I said, well, help me please. He said, what are you praying? I said, I'm just lucky to get out help today. And he said, well, I want to tell you something. God's not expecting your prayers as much as he's just expecting you to put one foot in front of the other. And he said, when you don't know what to do, just do the next right thing. And I thought, well, that's easy for you to say, but I'm sitting here in a mess and I don't know what the next right thing is. And I thought, ugh. He always has this dry humor. So I was kind of waiting for the punchline, because I never get his jokes. And so I was kind of just waiting for the next thing he was going to say. And he said the most profound thing, and that was the most simple thing I've ever heard. He said, if the next right thing is brushing your teeth, then brush your teeth. And if the next right thing is getting dressed, then get dressed. If the next right thing is taking a bath, take a bath. He said, you don't have to figure it all out today. You just have to move forward today doing the next right thing. So, childhood has an expiration date. Pain has an expiration date. There's always a time to heal. There's always a time, and this is good news for us. There's always a time, an appointed season to live again, to breathe freely again. I remember during that season, I had the biggest elephant on my chest. I thought, no one's experienced this. I'm going to die right here. I think I'm having a heart attack at 38, and I was going through all this thing, remembering everybody that ever had a heart attack at 38, and Joel said that to me, do you have a big elephant on your chest? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, how does this guy know I have an elephant on my chest? And he said, just start breathing, if the next right thing may just be taking good breaths, going outside for a walk. We overcomplicate progress. People that succeed in business just do the next right thing. They make the next right move, and sometimes they're wrong, but when they fail at it, they just get up and do the next right thing, the thing that makes the most sense next. And so sometimes that's just getting up and going to work and having lunch with a friend, whatever it is. But how the enemy wants to trap us in a season after it's expired so that we cannot get to the good part of life that God has for us. How he wants to lock us up and mourning and grief. We get trapped because we're holding on to something that's already expired. Times of pain and times of hurt have an expiration date. I feel like that's good news for somebody today. You may not feel that your date is over, but sometimes it's way past. We just don't know how to move on. But God wants to move you from a victim stance into a victor stance of overcoming. You were never meant to be trampled on. You were never meant to live a humdrum, devastated life. You were meant to live an abundant life. So how do we get through these seasons? From one spiritual season to another, it often requires a leap of faith, stretching ourselves and stepping into the unknown. I want to tell you, in those days, it was so hard just to get out of bed. In those days, I'm very much an extrovert, but in those days, I dreaded going to the store. The best thing you can do when you're walking through pain with somebody is buy them some chocolate, give them a hug, stay close by. And don't lend a lot of wisdom, because really they're not in a place yet for wisdom. They're in a place of great pain. And so unless God leads you to say something profound, just shut up and be there. Pastor Joel, that same guy, he said his niece was ill, critically ill most of her life. And he said that his goal with her was to write a book about everything people shouldn't say to people in the hospital. And actually, when that young lady died, someone said to her mother, worst thing you can say to a mother is, well, it's a good thing you had 5 kids because you still got 4 left. And this sweet little gracious woman of God turned to me and said, take over before I hurt them. You know, she's just like, take over before I hurt them. She said, and we walked, I said, let's just walk off. She felt like she had to stay in that funeral line and receive people. And it's just amazing the stupid things people will say. Just say, I love you and I'm here for you. That's good enough. Unless God gives you a word, I love you and I'm here for you. I walked her off and she said, like one child replaces another. Like I'm just supposed to go on like Lydia never existed. That was my baby. All 5 of them are my babies. And if any one of them gets sick or dies, it's a big deal. Because she was in that season of such brokenness that she couldn't see. Yes, probably what they meant was, you have 4 more to live for. And if this happened to me, I wouldn't have anybody, you know. They were trying to give her a reason to go on. But in her brokenness, she couldn't receive that word. So moving forward into the next season is stretching ourselves to do the uncomfortable, to go back out into public, to go be kind to people. I love when I'm hurting the worst, I try and go do something for somebody that's worse off than me. It's the greatest healer for me, because we have to realize that we're not the only one, and the enemy boxes you in your pain and says you're the only one hurting. You're the only one that's had this horrible life. You're the only one that's trapped here. And God says, no, there's abundant life ahead. You're not trapped. Just break out of the box. We have this little puppy. The kids talked me into this. Pray for me. God help me. But I have fallen in love with this crazy puppy. And it's a, what is it? What is it, Allison? Some kind of doodle. Golden doodle. That's what it is. This sucker is this big already, and he's just a few months old, but he's so sweet. This morning when I'm getting ready, he just pounces. You know, we think we've got him blocked in the living room, and he just pounces over this little blockade we have, and he looks at me, and I smile at him, and he just starts coming over the blockade to come to his mama. And so I thought surely I'd talk him into getting rid of this dog like a week into it, but they've held on, and now I'm in love, and I'll be more hurt than they will probably if something happens. But sometimes you just got to break out of the blockage. You got to take a risk. It was willing for Chip. Knew he might get a spanking if he jumped over the blockade, but what was on the other side was more enticing than what was behind him. And I want to tell you, there's good news. God has an abundant life ahead of you, but you may have to step over some blockades. You might have looked at something, you know, as humans, we can just step over this little blockade that we've made for Chip so he doesn't come in our bedrooms and stuff, because we would be like attacked in the middle of the night. Well, actually, he's in a cage. But when we open this little cage, when we get home today and we open his little cage, as soon as he hears the doors crack, he's going, you know, so excited.
so excited for somebody to let him out and for somebody to love him, because he knows there's life outside of that cage. And unless you can get a vision of there's life outside of your cage, this was a season of pain. This was a season of mourning. But I'm telling you, if it's lasted years or even most of your life, it's time to break out of that cage. And Jesus is here to slide the little lock and let you out today. But you may have to stretch yourself. You may have to step into the unknown. I'm going to tell you, the faith walk is like jumping out of a helicopter and hoping your parachute comes out. Did anybody see that one where the old lady went parachuting on Facebook? This keeps me from ever skydiving. Sorry, that's not part of my abundant life. But the old lady jumps out with this man, you know, she thinks she's safe because somebody else has her. And then she does a flip. And with her little frail body, she starts slipping through the parachute and through her clothes, and the guy's grabbing her and her clothes are falling off and the guy's hanging on for dear life. See, her hope couldn't be in that guy. It seemed to be. He knew what he was doing. He was a trained instructor. But our hope can only be in the Lord. Somehow, through the, you couldn't watch the video and know it was anything but the grace of God. She should have been, had 1,000 broken bones. She was in her 80s, I think, and had just decided to do something crazy. But at least she stepped out. At least she knows what that feels like. And at least she's a lot smarter than she was last week, right? From jumping out of a parachute. But sometimes I tell Pastor Les, the ministry is sometimes like a flying trapeze thing. I tell him, sometimes you throw me a curve and I just feel like I'm out in the air and I'm hoping you're going to catch me. And if you don't, I'm in trouble. But that's our walk with God. He's going to always catch us. He's going to always lift us out of our trouble. He's going to always be there for us. But we have to take leaps of faith toward Him. You know, I watch when the younger gymnasts are doing those little acts, jumping from one pole to another. You can see sometimes they'll zoom in on their hands and their little hands are just shaking. But they've got to take that leap to get to the next step. And there are leaps, and I believe God's going to speak them to you today. There are leaps for you to get to the next phase of your life. God never meant for you to be trapped in a season. This is why it's called a leap of faith. You can't always see the next step. But you can't always grasp hold of the hand of the Father, and He'll take you to the next place. Change doesn't always happen naturally in our spiritual life. We're called to engage our faith in God and step into a new season. How do you know when it's time to leap? When the fear of staying the same becomes greater than the fear of change, you'll take the next step. In Mark chapter 5, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Jesus had been working and he'd already done deliverance on the crazy guy that we always talk about with all the demons. It seems like we've preached that one out. I have, I know. In verse 21, after doing that, Jesus got into the boat and went back over to the other side of the lake. So this is his second boat trip of the day. And remember, he had tried to get some rest because people, he had been ministering to people on the one side of the sea. And so he's trying to get some rest and there's a storm. And even though his disciples had seen him doing great works, they were already doubting him. Can't even handle a little storm. They wake him up. And then when he gets to the other side, there's a demoniac guy, crazy, convulsing, screaming, cutting himself, that comes to him, and Jesus does a great deliverance on him. So Jesus has already done that. And then it says in verse 21, Jesus got into the boat again and he went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him. And all the people were following him, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd that suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. People often take advantage of sick people. She had suffered a great deal from the doctors as well as from her sickness. Over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had not gotten better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and she touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Now, let me give you a little bit of history, and I know many of you know that, but maybe some of you don't. When a woman was having her cycle, is that weird to talk about in church? It's just the truth. We just reel these days. When a woman was having her cycle, she was supposed to go to one side of the street and yell unclean so that nobody else got near her. They didn't have all the ads for all the different options women have these days. It was just them and their robe and a big mess. This woman had had an issue of blood for 12 years. And every time she went out of her house, she was to cry, unclean, unclean. And so people would shun her and go away from her. Men wouldn't go near her. This is 12 years. We don't know if she lost a marriage. We don't know if she had lost kids. We don't know if she had been raped. We don't know what physical ailment happened. But we do know that scripture said that she had suffered for 12 years. And she wasn't just suffering with her issue of blood. She was suffering with the pain of what people thought, of how she was treated, of how she was ostracized. And I don't know what you suffer with, but I want to tell you something. You can always get to Jesus if you want to get there. But it says she thought, if I can just touch his robe. And I think the reason that she thought about his robe was because she knew she wasn't supposed to be in a crowd. And maybe if I can sneak through the bottom of this crowd, because I've checked it out, and it's very hard to touch the bottom of somebody else's robe unless you're down on your face. You know, unless you're crawling on your hands and knees. But she saw something different in Jesus, something different than the doctor, something different than the people that had ostracized her. She saw something different in him. And it could have cost her her life to move in the direction of the crowd because she was unclean. And those kind of things, mixing with people that were clean. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and said, there's nobody good here. There's nobody clean here. No, not one. He kind of leveled the playing field. But at that time, if you had a serious illness, you were unclean. And especially any issue of blood or sores or anything, you were unclean. But something made her lunge in faith towards something that she never saw, but something that she could only dream. Maybe this is my answer. Now she could have, and the scripture doesn't say how long she stood back and waited, but you have to realize this could cost me my life. This could cost me everything I have, but I can't die in this box of pain and shame. So the lady thought, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. And it said immediately, I love immediate miracles, don't you? Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once, I love this, that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Now she was seemingly just hoping to get in, weasel through the crowd, touch his robe, and get out before anybody starts screaming unclean, because Jesus caused quite a ruckus wherever he went. His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched you? I wonder if anybody saw her touch him and they just didn't think it was worthy of recognition. They didn't think that she deserved any of his attention, because there's always people like that in the world that would hate to see somebody else get blessed. In verse 32, it said, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I hope God spoke to you through the message today. I'm so grateful there's an expiration date on suffering and pain. You don't have to stay stuck in a season that has expired. I pray that today you will reach out in faith and allow Jesus to take you into a refreshing new place of freedom. I speak to every hindrance that holds you back to be broken. Every old mindset that keeps you trapped in unhealthy thinking patterns, I command it to be gone in Jesus' all-powerful name. Abundant life is waiting on you. Join me here on BPN Radio next Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. I look forward to seeing you.